So it's an obvious statement that this week has been a week like no other. This is a week that none of us have had an experience like in our lifetime. From where things seem to be headed, it seems like this is going to be kind of a defining time of our life, a moment in history that we will always remember. It's also an obvious statement that this is uncharted waters for us as a church, a lot of uncertainty of how we will continue to meet, what that will look like. And because of that, I wanted to read for you a passage that my family and I have actually been working to commit to memory, a passage I've been thinking about a lot the past few days. It's a passage from the book of Psalms, Psalm 121. So let me read this for you and then give you some thoughts that I have for us. So Psalm 121, this is what the word says. It says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So let me give you a little bit of context of this passage, a little background, just to kind of help us understand this psalm, hopefully a little more fully. If you have a Bible in front of you, most likely you'll see that this psalm is labeled as a song of ascent. This is actually one of several psalms labeled with that same title. In fact, if you wanted to page through your Bible, you'd notice that all the psalms from Psalm 120 to 134 are all labeled as song of ascent. Even though if you read through them, you'll see there's different tones and different moods within the different psalms. If you take time to read through this grouping, these songs of ascent, you know that some of them are filled with laments of a current situation. Some of these psalms are filled with words expressing confidence and trust in our God, which is certainly true of the passage I read for you. Other of the song of ascent are filled with expressions of thanksgiving and praise. Still yet others are filled with words of wisdom. And honestly, each of the different emphases of these different psalms, I think, are very appropriate for us as we seek to walk by faith in this moment in history. So by faith, we lament all sickness and all death. We lament all suffering that many around the world are already having, which no doubt probably will only increase in the weeks ahead. By faith, we lament that we live in a world broken by sin, which this virus, honestly, is a sober reminder to us. Like, we lament that this is happening. Yet by faith, as we lament, we also do so with our hearts filled with thanksgiving and praise. Because the scripture is clear that our God is a faithful and a sovereign God. And he is good to his people. And he has a good plan. And he promises to be near us in our time of need. And he promises as we draw near to him, his perfect peace will comfort our hearts with a peace that surpasses all understanding. By faith, we also are thankful and we praise that our God is a God who is the great healer. By faith, we are thankful and we praise our God as the one who has all power and all authority over all things, including this time in history, including this virus. We believe that even this virus bows the knee before our God. By faith, with thanksgiving, with hearts filled with praise, we can rejoice because we know that the Word tells us that one day all sickness and all death will be removed from us. When our Lord returns, not only to remove these things from us, he promises to wipe every tear from our eye. By faith, we are also thankful. We praise our God as the God of all wisdom, who is a God who gives wisdom to all who come by faith seeking him. And he's the God of all wisdom who gives wisdom to people like doctors and nurses and healthcare providers to help guide us in situations and times like this. Psalm 121 and so many other passages of scriptures. By faith, even in a time like this, we have confidence and we have trust in our God. First, take a little bit more background information just on the Psalm of Ascents. These songs were once sung almost as if they were steps of faith that God's people took as they ascended into the great city on a hill, Jerusalem, which is where the temple was. Thus, the presence of God was found in the Old Testament. And as these psalms were grouped together, it seems like they were grouped together during a time of history where God's people were actually in a crisis. They were just released from being exiles in Babylon, and they were returning back to the land with much uncertainty. They were returning back in uncharted waters, really not knowing what the future was for them. So for us, for our time here, meaning this time here as we watch this video or listen to it on the podcast, or more broadly, just this time of human history that we are in, here's some few thoughts I have for us from this passage as a church family. So first, as we go through everything that we might go through the next weeks and months ahead, first, we must lift our eyes upward. So you see in this passage, the people of God, like they lifted their eyes physically. They lifted them physically to see Jerusalem that was before them. For us, by faith, we lift up our spiritual eyes to our God as he has revealed to us in his word. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't stay informed and up to date on the various information that continues to come out at rapid speed. In fact, within reason, I think it's actually important for us to stay informed. And if you need help knowing how to best stay informed, I actually would gladly help you. The medical people at in our church family have been incredibly helpful to me to help me understand what was taking place and how to think through it. So if you need help, please let me know. However, that being said, as we stay informed, as we read various reports, as we watch the news, we do so with our eyes looking up. We look up and we see, as this text so clearly tells us, we see in the end where our help comes from. When we look to our God, in the end, he and he alone is our true help. He is our true help. More than anything, we trust in him. He is our hope. He is our help. Always. Why? Well, because what we see in verse 2. Our psalmist tells us our help comes from the Lord. Why? Because he is the one who made heaven and earth. And as the maker of heaven and earth, he is the one who has all authority over all things, including this. Because he is the maker of heaven and earth, he and he alone has all wisdom and all power. When we look up to our God, that's what we see. We see the one that we can trust. We see the one that we can have complete and full confidence in. Which is why, even in the midst of chaos and uncertainty, we can have peace. Real peace. Today, and in the weeks ahead, we look up. By faith, we look to our God as he has revealed to us in the scriptures. We look up by faith, and we continue to bow our heads and our knees in prayer. We look up, and by faith, we put our confidence and our trust in our God, believing that he indeed will hold us fast, that he will see us through. That's actually the second thing I want to encourage us from this text. We must rest in his promises. We must look up, and we must rest in the promises he's given to us. Now, that being said, we can't hold on to and rest in false promises. False promises or false assurance that might lead us to think that God will keep us from all hardship, all sickness, and death. None of those things are actually promised to us in this life. In fact, in the scriptures, we see the opposite. We see that we will have trials. We read that there will be tribulation. There will be suffering. There will be sickness. There will be death. That will be our reality. In this time, we don't know what his plan will be for us. It's very possible that his good plan for us as individuals, as a church family, as a society, even as mankind as a whole, it might mean we might endure deep hardships. Hardships that we have not experienced in 100+ years. Potentially, sickness might come in a very real way to our church family. Without knowing the future, people that we know and love might actually be ones that make up numbers of the death rate. We know this. None of us are promised tomorrow. And if it's not the virus, unless the Lord returns first, like we know something else is holding the gong that tolls the bell that one day will sound for each of us. So in this moment, like we can't hold on to false promises. The reality is that this might be a very hard season that we're entering into, which is why it's so important that we hold on to sure promises that we see throughout the scriptures, including the sure promises that we see in this text. Verse 3. Our God promises to his people that he will not let our foot be moved. Meaning, as you and I seek him, as by faith we climb the hill into his presence, he promises that he will guard us, he will watch over us in each and every step that we take. Then in verse 3 and into verse 4, the promise is that as he watch over our steps, that he's not going to fall asleep at the wheel. He's not going to nod off. He's not going to lose sight of us. Rather, the promise that we see in this passage is that our God who is keeping us, he will not slumber. He's not going to fall asleep at the job. He's not going to nod off. He's not going to lose sight of us. Our text tells us with emphasis, behold, see, understand, trust, he who keeps Israel, he will neither slumber nor sleep. His sight's on his people. They're sure, they're steady, they're faithful. He sees us. He's watching over us in every situation, in every circumstance, in every challenge. And he's not going to tire. Sure, we might find fatigue in the days and the weeks ahead, but we trust he will not. Our God will not take a vacation, a day off, a lunch break, not even a cat nap to lose sight of his people of faith. Not for even a second. That's the sure promise that we have from him that we must hold on to. He will keep us. Which in this psalm, we read that the psalmist spends the rest of this time, rest of this letter, just pushing this point on this sure promise. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. Right? That's who he is. The Lord is the keeper of his people. He is the one who is the anchor of our soul. As mentioned, he is the one who will hold us fast. He will keep us. As he keeps us, our text tells us the Lord is our keeper, and he is our shade, the protection on our right hand. So as weary travelers come to him, as by faith we walk up the mountain into his presence under the heat of day, the sun will not strike us down. Our God will keep us from the paralyzing heat of the day. And our text says not only keep us during the day, but he also keep us throughout the night. Meaning he doesn't like have his 8-hour day and then he punches out and he's gone for the night. Rather, our text tells us that he will keep us through the cool and the danger of a moon-filled night. He promises he will keep us. He promises that he will protect us. He promises that he will personally be there to see us through it all. Even if the plan for our lives means that our earthly bodies will not escape the valley of the shadow of death. By his grace, by his mercy, he promises he will keep our souls. Verse 7, and 8. Passage says, our Lord, our keeper, he is the one who will keep us from all evil. He will keep our life. He will keep our going out and our coming in from this time forth, including this moment, and forevermore. And once again, think of the picture of a pilgrimage, a pilgrim on a journey into this great city on a hill. Think of a pilgrimage who I'm sure had fear and trembling with every step that they took, not knowing what was ahead of them, not knowing where the many dangers, toils, and snares were hiding, not knowing where dangerous animals might be or dangerous robbers might be lurking. And for us, not knowing how this tiny microscopic virus might attack our bodies, the bodies of our family or our friends or our community, or not knowing how far and long a financial fallout might potentially extend. The promise, the sure promise, is that our God will keep us through whatever uncertainty we may be walking into. And he is completely surrounding us as he keeps us from all evil. Just read our text tells us he will keep our going out and our coming in. You know, for the traveler to this holy city, right, this communicated that they had no fear of whatever danger might be ahead of them. They had no fear of whatever danger might be coming from behind to attack them. They are fully surrounded and fully kept by our God. And as we read, as this text ends, firm promises that our God will always be with us in every single moment of this life as we pilgrimage together. We will be kept from this time forth and forevermore. And church, that is our hope. That is our hope today, in light of all the things currently taking place. That is our hope in the days and weeks ahead as we head into these uncharted waters. That is our hope even if things get better, which we all hope they do. Right? Good health, good economy. Those aren't our ultimate hope. Our hope for this entire pilgrimage of faith that we're on is in our God and the sure promises that he has given to us in his word, that we will be kept all the way into the eternal city that is to come, the New Jerusalem. That's our hope, because that's what God tells us in his word. And that's our hope, because we believe that our Lord, the one who is perfect and innocent, who is clean from the stain of sin, was taken out of the holy city of Jerusalem, out past the city walls. He was taken outside the camp, which was a place reserved for those who were unclean. And as he was taken outside the camp to the place of sickness and death, we know that our Lord Jesus, he kept his eyes towards his good heavenly Father. And for the joy set before him, our Lord ascended a different hill, a hill called Calvary. Carrying the cross on his back, a cross that he was nailed to and lifted up as a spectacle for all to see. Yet as our Lord was lifted up on the cross, we believe and we trust that it is actually the will of the Lord to crush him, so that by faith, all who look to him would be healed of the deadliest of all disease, sin. Because on the cross, Jesus would take the punishment of sin and he would take on all evil, so that through him, we would be washed clean and healed and forgiven and redeemed. And for us, our hope is not simply that Jesus died, but we know and we trust that after our Lord died, he was buried, and his body laid without life in a tomb for 3 days. But what the scriptures so clearly teach us, that we believe with all of our heart, is that our Lord was raised from the dead on the third day, in accordance with the promises of the scriptures, to prove once and for all that he is greater than all things, and he is more powerful than even death itself. Which is why, in this time, especially in this time, we join the hymn writer and sing and proclaim that all that is in us, that in Christ alone our hope is found. He is our light, he is our strength, he is our song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm from the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in us. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus, he's the one who commands our destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand. Till he returns or calls us home, church, here in the power of Christ, we stand. Listen, we believe with every ounce that is in us that our Redeemer lives. And we believe in his sure promise that one day he will come for us, which is why we live with hope, even when everything around us might feel hopeless. Yes, no doubt. This is one of the most unique and unprecedented times of our lives. No doubt. We are in uncharted waters. No doubt what it feels like we're walking into hard and challenging days ahead. But for us, as we walk by faith with our eyes up, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, and all the promises of the scriptures that find their yes and amen in him. And by faith, we do not walk by fear, but we walk with hope, with trust, with confidence, trusting that our God will keep us. He will hold us fast. Now, before I close this time, let me just kind of be, I guess, fairly practical on how we seek to walk by faith in the days and weeks ahead. So let me give you some practical things here. So first, by faith, in the days and weeks ahead, we are going to stay committed to our spiritual disciplines. Okay, we're going to do that, especially our Bible reading and prayer. And let's be honest, this is going to be a challenge to stay focused because the natural pull of our heart is to continue to see all the things going on in the news right now, especially because how quickly things seem to continue to change. However, for us, our primary focus is actually going to be right here in the Word and in prayer. Unfortunately, our seminar with David Mathis has been postponed, but that doesn't mean we can't start implementing even more faithful habits of grace in our life today, especially Bible reading and prayer. As we look up to our God, our eyes will be in his Word, and our knees will be bowed down before him in prayer. Second, as we walk by faith, we're going to seek and walk in wisdom. I keep saying this is uncharted waters for us. So we're going to be as humble as we can be to seek wisdom with each step that we take. As mentioned earlier, the medical professionals within our church have been so incredibly helpful to me. If you're looking for wisdom from them, please let me know, and I can help you get in contact with them. Also, let me also mention that this is going to be probably really hard for our medical folks. And so as you're praying, please be praying for them. I'm sure the hours and the stress are going to be incredibly high. Third, by faith, as we go through these uncharted waters, we are going to give and extend grace to all those around us. So we know decisions are being made, like everywhere, with little to no time to fully weigh the different options. which means we must extend grace to everyone. And this is going to be hard. We know this. Levels of stress might be really high. This potentially could be, you know, a little bit longer season of high stress. But we must, by faith, commit to give and extend grace. Fourth, by faith, we're going to strive to continue to meet together. So obviously right now, we can't meet like we normally would on a Sunday morning. That's just not an option for us. However, at this point, we still can meet in smaller settings. And unless there's like a known health concern or risk, by faith, let's do all that we can do to stay connected. And if physically, if being connected physically is not an option for you or becomes less of an option for us, by faith, let's use the technology that we have to stay connected, whether it's through phone calls or video calls. By faith, through this, we're going to stay connected. We're not going to be isolated. We're going to be connected. Fifth, by faith, we are going to be aggressive and intentional to seek to love our neighbor with our words and our deeds. You know, go back to the Psalm. You know, the great question in it says, where does my help come from? Listen, we know this. This is a question that many around us are asking right now. And they're struggling to find the answer. But we know the answer. Our help comes from the Lord, the one who made heavens and earth, who in great love sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, so whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. We can't miss this moment of time in history, this incredible opportunity to show the love of Christ to others. So our deacons right now are working hard, prayerfully brainstorming how they can help mobilize us as a church to love our neighbor. I encourage you to do the same, to take time to think through how you can love those around us. If you don't know your neighbors, use this time to do so. Practically, there's actually a great app called the Next Door app. Already, there's actually a good number of requests of people looking for help in this time. I encourage you to download that app. It's called the Next Door app to see how you might be able to meet needs of your neighbors. This is a time that's going to be a scary time for the elderly. Can I just ask how might you be able to help them? How can we help the elderly around us as a church? Schools are being canceled. And so I know a lot of parents right now are scrambling to help find childcare. Same thing. How might we be able to meet that need? Earlier this week, so T and I, we actually know our neighborhood pretty well. So we just emailed all of our neighbors and to see how we might be able to help to them. And already good conversations have been happening. A few actually gave us some simple requests that we have been able to meet. Our neighbors are also very interested to hear what our church is doing. That has opened up some doors of conversation for us. So as you talk and interact with all those around us, honestly, feel free to pass on anything that we're sending to you onto them if it'd be helpful. There also are some really great blogs and videos coming out within the greater Christian community. I encourage you to pass those around to your neighbors and your coworkers maybe are fearful. Use them to be shared on your social media. To say it again, this is an opportunity to love our neighbors, an opportunity that we can't miss. We're not going to miss this opportunity. So church, as we head into these uncharted waters, may God give us the grace to do this together. In unity and commitment, looking and trusting in our God as we pilgrimage to the new city, the better city of Jerusalem that is to come. So know that I'm praying for you. Please let me know how I might be able to care for you or your other pastors, how they might be able to, Ben and Trevor, how they can care for you. Your deacons, let them know how they can serve you. Uncharted waters, but this is an incredible opportunity for us as a church to trust in God and to love each other and to love our neighbor well. May God bless you.